This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about barbecue sauce.
And I'm excited for this one. I love barbecue sauce. I always have.
I am completely neutral on barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I do have to say, though, when we were thinking about how we were going to taste them today, you suggested just tasting them on French fries.
Yeah.
Like frozen, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll cook the French fries.
I'm pretty excited about this. I would have never thought of that. Like, yeah, I never thought to dip fries in barbecue sauce.
Oh, I've been doing it all my life.
Really?
Yeah, because as you know, should we go down memory lane?
Yeah, okay.
Let's, new segment. We'll call it memory lane. Okay. It's like when we rustle back through the rucksack of our minds.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I hated ketchup, still do. Hated mustard, still do. Hated mayo, still do.
Go on.
But if you could, like, sneakily present me with a sauce that was kind of like one of these things but convince me that it was a different product, I'd be like, okay. And barbecue sauce, it's the Kansas City-style barbecue sauce that is dominant in U.S. fast food, is a lot like ketchup.
I just never think of it. I never think to put it on things. Like, I always think of it as something that comes, like, already baked onto something.
Yeah, and that's definitely one way to do it.
That said, I do remember as a child, like, going through the McDonald's drive-thru, and when you would order your 6-piece chicken nuggets, you would have a choice of honey, barbecue sauce.
Yep, sweet and sour.
Oh, sweet and sour?
Yeah.
God, I always got honey.
Oh, and I always
never got barbecue sauce. I also think of barbecue sauce when I think of Arby's.
When you think of Barbies?
Arby's.
Oh, Arby's.
Oh, my God.
I legitimately thought you said Barbies.
No, Arby's.
Yeah, I would take a Barbie, like a Malibu Barbie.
Well, yeah, I always think of her out on the patio of her dream house with her grill.
And just slathered head to toe with a rich, like, finger licking barbecue sauce.
Well, and it was a real part of her routine with Ken. Like, they were kinky in a super, super
suburban way.
Suburban way. Anyway.
Yep. It's all true.
All right. But yeah, so Arby's, when you would drive through Arby's and you would get a roast beef sandwich, was it Arby's sauce?
Like horsey sauce?
What was horsey sauce?
I think it's a horseradish sauce.
But it wasn't horse. No, I didn't know. No.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think of barbecue sauce at Arby's. Like, you would get your sandwich with, like, a little extra packet of barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right?
Yeah. So I've been enjoying barbecue sauce since I was a kid. I know we should like disclaim that I know, like, barbecue sauce is one of those things that people have very strong opinions on, and, like, we are merely students of the craft.
It's hard for me to think about talking about barbecue sauce without thinking of, like, old Calvin Trillin essays about, like, Kansas City barbecue versus Memphis barbecue.
Right.
Vinegar,
like, is it
versus
a dry
whatever.
Rub or a mop?
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. And I feel completely... Okay. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
Last night we were watching the new, like, Martin Scorsese movie, The Irishman.
Right.
And I was saying to Ash that I always feel completely bewildered by movies about the mafia because I cannot understand the structure and like the sort of like honor system of it.
When you say the structure, like, you mean like the org chart of the mafia?
The org chart like of the mafia,
Who's higher up, like a don or a consigliere?
No, not even that, but just like, you know, like, so there's this crime family in Philadelphia, but then there's also all this talk about Jimmy Hoffa in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And I just can't follow, like, Jimmy Hoffa was like a labor organizer, but also a mobster. And like, I can't understand all the relationships between these people.
Well, I mean, it's like
people.
How barbecue sauce is a dipping sauce, but also a basting sauce.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hoffa was both.
Basically, I feel about the whole topic of barbecue sauce the way I feel about like movies about mafia. Like, I'm super interested in it, like to consume it.
Mm-hmm. Want to join, for sure.
Really fully understand how it works or who does what to who.
I mean,
or who puts what in who.
Wow.
Or I just can't. Oh,
yeah.
That sounds like our French fry timer.
You're going to check the fries. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to think of what mafia movies I've seen. The only one I can think of
is... What about The Godfather?
I haven't seen it.
The Godfather 1 is incredible.
Yeah,
you don't have to
convince me or anyone that The Godfather is a good movie.
No, but I mean...
Newsflash.
No, but it's so much better than I thought it was going to
okay.
be.
I think the only mafia movie I've seen is The Freshman, starring Matthew Broderick and Marlon Brando.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't think it's a good movie.
I also haven't seen other things that, like, I'm not sure if they're mafia movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is Reservoir Dogs a mafia movie? I don't know. Like, there's this, you know, there's this, like, whole series of, like, older white male actors. Like, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel.
Yes.
De Niro, Pacino, all these guys. And when they show up in movies, they all kind of blend together into one, like, sort of distinguished elder statesman of mafia actor.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean.
I keep them separate, and I sometimes don't even know what the movies are about, but I just assume that they're mafia movies.
So I think probably there's like an entrance exam, like, because you mentioned that you do want to join the mafia.
No, I want to know more about it. I want to be a part of it in the sense of like consuming the culture of it.
No, but let the record show that Molly wants to be a part of the mafia.
That Molly glorifies violence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but I mean, it's not like violence isn't the point. It's just like you
power.
Have to uphold honor.
Yes.
Like sometimes you just have to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I've always said.
Yeah.
I think
that's what you taught Iris growing up. Sometimes you just kid. You just got to do what you got to do. You got to uphold the honor of the family.
You know, we were talking
you gotta
recently.
You got to pop a cap in that guy.
Exactly. You've got to
right?
you got to pop a cap. That classic mafia expression. One of my favorite, and no specific example comes to mind. So we'll use pop a cap. We were talking about dad jokes on the show sometime recently, and I was trying to think of like what are my go-to dad jokes, and like the only one I could think of was saying. Talking about doing something with extreme prejudice.
Yeah.
I think my favorite go-to dad joke is to like say to Iris in a like a fake serious voice, like, if I can only impress upon you one piece of advice as a parent, and then like give the worst possible advice, like sometimes you gotta pop a cap in someone. All right, now go do your homework. I find this endlessly funny.
What are other pieces
that's,
of advice you've
what I'm
pressed
trying
upon
to think.
Your child?
Like, I think like one recently was like, if all of your friends are doing something stupid, it's really important that you do it also.
That's great advice. That's such good advice. Okay. All right. Anyway.
Or like, I think recently, like, don't do drugs. But if you do, be sure and do only the coolest party drugs. Don't worry. The bowl I just knocked over doesn't have any barbecue sauce in it yet. And the fries weren't quite ready yet.
Okay, cool. Anyway, okay. So yeah. All right. So what were we going to say?
Oh,
People have a lot of opinions about this. It's very complicated. It's just like the mafia.
Right. It's exactly like the mafia. And what we're going to be talking about primarily today, we'll talk about a couple of other styles of barbecue sauce. But really what we mean is like the kind of barbecue sauce you would get in a bottle at an American supermarket, which is kind of like is based on a Kansas City style barbecue sauce that's tomato based with lots of sugar.
Okay.
And vinegar, usually.
Great.
The other thing I was going to say on my memory lane is, and I was telling Iris about this morning while dispensing some of my classic fatherly advice. For some reason, when I was in seventh grade, my English teacher liked to leave school around lunchtime and drive over to Burger King and get himself some Burger King for lunch. And then like some of us kids found out about this and agreed to like convinced him to like put in our orders for Burger King stuff too. Like we would like him like $4 or something. And at the time, Burger King had introduced this monstrosity of a burger called the Bullseye Barbecue Burger, which was like a long bun with two patties side by side and barbecue sauce. And I think bacon and an onion and like two onion rings.
Did you love it?
I loved it. I would still eat that for sure. But I would eat it like in English class.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh man. You had a childhood of dreams.
Yeah. It was a fancy private school. And I guess that's the kind of thing that happens in a fancy private school.
It's exactly the kind of thing that happens in a fancy private school.
Okay. Should we talk about what is barbecue sauce?
Yeah, please. Because really, I'm clueless. Talk to me.
Okay. So I did a little wiki research. I learned that most American barbecue sauces can trace their roots to a sauce common in the eastern regions of North Carolina and South Carolina. The simplest and earliest, it was popularized by enslaved people from Africa who had also advanced the development of American barbecue and was originally made with vinegar, ground black pepper, and hot chili pepper flakes. It was used as a mopping sauce to baste the meat while it's cooking and as a dipping sauce when served. Thin and sharp, it penetrates the meat and cuts the fats in the mouth. There is little or no sugar in the sauce, which in turn has a noticeably tartar flavor than most other barbecue sauces. So that's like the original form of barbecue sauce, which is not what we're talking about today.
Is there an analog to the, or is there like a precursor to this in some part of Africa?
That would be like beyond my level of historical knowledge.
Okay. I'm sure that there must be, like, you know, with these like spices and the idea. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there wouldn't be like pre-Columbian exchange because this sauce has chili peppers in it.
Okay.
Which is a New World crop.
Okay. Okay.
But some, you know, like going back far enough, it's just the idea of like seasoning things with pepper and vinegar.
Okay.
And then like gradually it took on, I mean, like, you know, it took on tomato like the same way tomato weasels itself into everything, kind of.
Yeah, tomato, that old weasel. Yeah. Wait a minute. Will you tell me what brand of fries you've chosen and why you chose these?
Oh, yeah. I
never bought frozen fries.
These are Safeway Signature Select.
Ooh.
And, man, like, I don't know what is going on with the store branding at Safeway these days because they keep adding adjectives.
Signature like, Select.
It used to be Safeway Select, I think, and then they made it Safeway Signature Select. But then there's like Safeway Signature Select Reserve for some products.
Oh my God, that's exhausting.
It's nuts. Like they're having too much fun in the boardroom, I think, is what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I've had some fun
actual
in the boardroom,
work to do.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. So, Matthew, do you usually use barbecue sauce as a dipping sauce for fries since you don't like ketchup?
I usually do. Yes, I love
it. So do you always keep barbecue sauce around?
Yes, in the fridge.
Okay, so wait, let's talk
about
this.
Did you know once a well-known food writer described that my fridge as looking like the inside looking like an Asian grocery?
That was me. All right. So Matthew, hold on. Now, will you tell us about the sauces you bought for today? And is one of them something you usually keep around?
Okay, so Molly was kind enough to send me links to a couple of barbecue sauce tastings at
used Google.
Thekitchen.com, and one was America's Test Kitchen. Also, I pulled up the Serious Eats one. And what they did, which is what we did, and we will talk a little about homemade barbecue sauce, but we're tasting some commercial barbecue sauces. They did some tastings of easy-to-find national brands to say what's good and what's not. And they all seem to agree that Trader Joe's, Sweet Baby Ray's, and Bullseye came in at or near the top. And so those are the ones I bought.
Okay. I'm going to do Trader Joe's first.
Oh.
Not Stubbs. I always think of Stubbs. Maybe it just has a good
Stubbs
label.
Stubbs did not show very well in these tastings. I think, first of all, it's got a great label. You're right. I think Stubbs is maybe like going for kind of a different style that didn't fit in with the others in the lineup. Mm-hmm.
So when I taste the Trader Joe's, the first thing I notice is some smoky flavor.
Yeah, which I'm sure is coming from liquid smoke.
Then, okay, the Sweet Baby Ray's, the first thing I notice is it's really bright. It's really, like, quite tangy, which I like, but in a balanced way. I haven't had the Bullseye.
Oh, so the funny thing I noticed on the Bullseye is that on the label it says 30 years of barbecue experience, which, first of all, does not seem like a very long amount of time to brag about with your barbecue.
In the history of the barbecue world.
And secondly, that means they were getting their start, like, around the time I was eating the Bullseye barbecue burger in class.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that one.
The Bullseye?
So it starts out the most smoky of all of them, and then it kind of settles to a flatness. It's a little less sweet, maybe?
I love it.
It goes flat on me. Hold on, I'm going to cycle through them again.
Yep. I haven't even gotten to Sweet Baby Ray's yet.
Oh, okay. The Trader Joe's one definitely sort of coats the fry most thickly.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's tomato paste. Wow, I made more fries than necessary by a large margin.
Hmm. Sweet Baby Ray's is the most ketchup-y.
It is. So, I like all of these.
I like Sweet Baby Ray's the best.
Interesting.
Do you like the...
I think I like the Bullseye the best, but it's the one I grew up on. So,
really? I've never even heard of this until now.
I think that's how bottled sauces of all kinds work. Like, if you grew up on Heinz ketchup, you're not going to enjoy Hunt's ketchup as much, right?
You know, I think somebody who really likes barbecue sauce is going to like that Bullseye the best, actually. Mm-hmm. It tastes like...
I do like the Trader Joe's. I like them all.
It tastes like barbecued meat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Sweet Baby Ray's tastes like barbecue sauce.
So you're not regularly applying barbecue sauce to any meals, friends or lovers?
No. So Ash recently bought some barbecue sauce. They bought like a 365 brand or something that their sister recommended. And sometimes they will do like,
you know, was a good kind of burnt fry.
Kind of just baked chicken with barbecue sauce on it.
Oh, sure.
I could take it or leave it, honestly. That's not really my thing.
I will put, so I love dipping fries in barbecue sauce. I love dipping onion rings in barbecue sauce. I will put it on a burger. Like when we've gone to Wendy's together, which I love to do. And like anytime you're thinking about going to Wendy's, give me a call. I'll be there. And that goes for you, the listener, also. I'll get the 4 for $4, which is the craziest deal in all of fast fooddom, I think.
Tell me more.
The 4 for $4, it's $4 for like a small burger, 4 chicken nuggets, a drink or Frosty, and fries.
No, this does not sound like me. I don't want the chicken nuggets.
It shouldn't be legal, but it's great. Anyway, I always get the barbecue sauce, and then I use some for dipping my fries and nuggets and put some on my burger, which I've asked for with no ketchup.
When I go to Wendy's, I get a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then I get like a small fries, small Frosty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the nugget.
Yeah. See, wife of the show, Lori, recently went to Wendy's and got the 4 for $4 and was thinking like the nugget seems superfluous, but then reported that she was really happy that she had the nugget.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like a Wendy's burger feels more substantial to me somehow than the McDonald's quarter pounder.
I think it is, but not the one you get with the 4 for $4. It's a little teeny burger.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend, I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close, though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15. Like, what else do I do with it? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
What about at home?
I mean, I'll put it on a burger that I make at home.
You mentioned you've made a homemade barbecue sauce, which honestly, until you texted that to me, it had never occurred to me.
I did this recently, and it felt like alchemy.
Really?
It felt like it was more exciting than when I joined the mafia.
That
was a big day. I was kicked out by the end of the day. It didn't go well. Yeah, that's how it works. When you mess up in the mafia, they kick you out and they say, don't come back. I should see more mafia movies. So I made a recipe that we'll link to. Of course, it is from friend of the show, Kenji Lopez Ault. Mm-hmm. It is oven-cooked pulled pork. You make a simple homemade barbecue sauce, like in this kind of Kansas City style, and you braise the pork in like half of it so that it's sticking out and some of it gets kind of crusty. The pork does.
I'm sorry. Could you start over? I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
So after I had to whack the Don.
Oh.
I got a promotion. Mm-hmm. I became the new Don. Mm-hmm. And I was like the overlord.
Don Mateo.
I was Don Mateo. The power went to my head. Like it happened.
What about the barbecue sauce?
I swore I wasn't going to be one of these people who like lets becoming a Don like take over their life. I wanted to have some like Don life balance. And I just I just couldn't figure it out. Like, I was like, I'm going to whack one guy. I'm going to become the Don. I'm going to do good Don stuff for a while. And then sock stuff away into my 401M, which is the mafia's retirement plan. And
Don life balance.
All right. We're not going to say anything better than that, right?
Talk about the stupid.
I made homemade barbecue. Right. Okay. So the recipe is from friend of the show, Kenji Lopez Ault. We'll link to it on Serious Eats. It is an oven cooked pulled pork shoulder.
Great.
And you make a homemade barbecue sauce. I'll get into the details in a minute. And you put like half of the sauce into the pot with the pork so that it's like a shallow braise, and you cook it, do it partly uncovered so that you've spice rubbed the pork and the part that is emerging from the sauce gets kind of crusty, like a nice, smoked pork shoulder.
Like an iceberg.
Yes. Like how an iceberg gets crusty.
Yeah. Under the heating element.
I feel like braised iceberg is some bullshit that like they would make it like a linea, right?
Yes, probably.
Okay. And the
Grant Achatz is totally listening to our show right now.
And is totally in the mafia. The reason I say it was like alchemy is because when I eat barbecue sauce like this, I have to kind of like set aside in my mind that it's really a lot like ketchup. I have to block that out because I hate ketchup.
It's a lot like ketchup, Matthew.
And I know intellectually that this is a lot like ketchup, but like I don't want to think about that. But when I made this homemade barbecue sauce, the recipe starts out with a cup of ketchup. And so like I didn't even enjoy squeezing the ketchup bottle. I was like, this just isn't me. like how I changed when I became the Don.
At what point in the cooking process were you able to let go of your repulsion for
so
it?
So let me tell you.
Revulsion.
Yes. It wasn't just the ketchup. You also put in a ton of molasses and then like half a cup of apple cider vinegar. And like, I mean, I know these are all good ingredients, but like at no point during that day, I feel like, oh, and like these things all together are going to make a delicious sauce. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is going to be some like sweet and sour ketchupy bullshit.
You know,
but you also put in a lot of spices. Yeah.
I was going to say, this reminds me of this recipe that Melissa Clark published years and years ago, probably a decade ago now, that was like fake baked beans. Mm-hmm. You take a can of pinto beans with all the, you know, the viscous liquid, and you add to it like ketchup, mustard, vinegar, etc. And you just cook it on the stovetop and it's like Cheaters baked beans.
Right. It is like that.
But it's interesting. It hadn't occurred to me that like, I mean, of course, baked beans are like sweet, sour, barbecue sauce, sweet, sour.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of similarity
there. It
hadn't
occurred to me that there would be some crossover
very
in the ingredients.
So also like some Worcestershire sauce goes into this.
Yes, and exactly.
Yeah, some brown sugar and
exactly.
Various spices. Yeah, very similar to what goes into baked beans. Some mustard, which I also don't like. Mm-hmm. Then you bake this for like 4 hours. And then when it comes out of the oven, it's this beautiful dark brown sauce that is like both very sweet and very sour, like but beautifully balanced. It's a little bit spicy. It was great.
Wow. Okay, like, can we link to that?
Iris, teenager of the show, Iris, who is also kind of condiment phobic, loved it. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
We'll link to that. I highly recommend this recipe.
My family would love it.
Yeah, I think so. If they like a pile of meat.
So, Matthew, I've been sitting here while you've been talking, and I've been, you know, shoving fries with barbecue sauce in my face. Mm-hmm. Here are my feelings. After eating a lot of these, well, number one, I should also issue the caveat that I am getting over a really bad cold and am still quite congested. So my taste buds are probably not, you know, peak sensitivity.
Oh.
However, I think the Trader Joe's of these three is my least favorite. It's kind of the least distinctive. Mm-hmm. I would say the Bullseye feels like almost over the top to me in like it's, I am a barbecue sauce. Like I'm like the smell of the inside of a smoker.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas the Sweet Baby Ray's is the least smoky of the three. And I think kind of like the lightest of the three.
I think the Sweet Baby Ray's is the one that would feel most at home in a packet at a fast food place.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Do you feel at home in a packet?
I've always found them quite cozy. I love to just, you know, like slip up. I was trying to figure out what body part I could fit in a packet. Maybe my pinky. Love slipping a pinky in a packet.
Maybe what I want is like a sleeping bag that is like a novelty sleeping bag that's designed to look like a packet.
Oh my God, that sounds great.
Yeah, well, my birthday is coming up in like 8 months, so.
Okay, great. I'll put that on your birthday list. So anyway, Matthew, this has been really interesting. Are you going to continue to buy Bullseye?
I'm going to continue to buy Bullseye. And of course, you know, there are 49 other brands of barbecue sauce that we didn't taste. But like I said, because I grew up with Bullseye and this just like tastes like what, you know, commercial barbecue sauce is to me, like there's no chance that any of those I'm going to taste and say, oh, I'm going to replace Bullseye with this one.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure you have something like that. I think everyone does. Is there like a cracker that you buy that's your favorite cracker and like, you know, you have no problem with a Wheat Thin, but you know, a Wheat Thin is never going to replace the cracker that you buy?
No.
Okay.
I don't feel that way about crackers.
Is it when you joined the mafia, did you ever like look kind of longingly
my God, wait a minute.
At the
hold
Yakuza?
On. Wait, can I? Yakuza.
The Yakuza.
Yes. Yeah. Can I tell you, speaking of cracker, this is like, so Ash and I, before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, by the way.
I forgot to say that.
We got married at the end of November. We were trying to think of like non-gendered terms for a spouse.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, like husband or wife, because Ash is non-binary and uses they, them pronouns. And so we were trying to think of, you know, I was like, well, I could just call you my spouse, which is ultimately now what I do. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of sterile. It's kind of sterile. It's like not that fun. So Ash put out a call on Instagram for like terms.
Yeah, this is a real good question. I'm excited.
And I have to say the ones we got were, if I may just say, so dumb.
Okay.
Twin flame.
I don't understand. Co-conspirator.
I think that it's very... So here's what's tricky is it's very hard to capture without gender. It's very hard to capture that this person is your partner and that you're married.
Mm.
There are so many different terms that
I've never heard twin flame before, but it's one of my least favorite things I've ever heard.
Right? Another one was be true. B-E capital T-R-U. Be true.
That is for sure a brand of hard seltzer.
It kills me. Anyway, and then we got, you know, all the ones you would think of, mm-hmm. like beloved, boo,
uh-huh.
babe, etc., darling. But I'm not going to walk into like a cocktail party and be like, I would like to introduce you to my twin flame, Ash. Anyway.
I know. That one's like so over the top stupid. That
it just makes me.
That maybe you should.
So anyway, we've gone with spouse for now. But June was listening to us have this conversation. And she is still at the age where she doesn't, when she names a stuffed animal, she doesn't yet like use human names for it.
Sure.
She still uses names like Pinky and Fluffy.
Is there an age at which you start giving stuffed animals human names? Like this is my teddy bear, like Lawrence.
No, I guess it's that you age out of toys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then you start naming dogs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But anyway.
It is funny when a dog has like a superhuman name, right? Not superhuman, but like
Alice. I have a dog named Alice. Okay.
That is funny.
Right? Anyway, but so June was like, oh, I know. Cupcake. And so, you know, we had a little chuckle over that I should call Ash my cupcake. But then she goes, no, I have a better one. Cracker.
So I totally forgot the story started with Cracker. Right?
So anyway, then Ash and I really got into hysterics about it, like using it in a sentence, mm-hmm. like talking about June's cello teacher. His name is Kevin. He's married to a man named Michael.
Okay.
And so we were trying out using Cracker in a sentence. Like, I'd like to introduce you to Kevin's Cracker, Michael. That's the worst
maybe,
thing.
Maybe not. Problematic in a lot of ways.
It's going to be so problematic. And we're
you're wedded to it.
No, we're definitely not going to use it outside of, like, the joke that we made about it.
I do like Cupcake.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, it's more of a pet name than like a spousal designation.
I just love that June's first idea was like food names.
Yeah.
Oh, she also threw out pizza. But Cracker was really the one that stuck for obvious reasons.
Pizza's pretty fun.
This is my pizza, Ash. I'd like you to meet my pizza.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Something about toppings. Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So June's got some time until she learns more about like the racially charged nature of crackers.
Sure.
But in the meantime, no, I don't have a favorite cracker other than Ash.
Right. But I still think you have some brand that you're
stoned
loyal to.
Stoned Wheat
yes.
Thins. I don't ever buy them, but they taste like my childhood.
But what is there some brand of condiment that you keep on hand?
I always keep Hellman's mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Which actually is called Best Foods here, but I grew up with it being Hellman's.
So from our mafia family to yours, happy holidays, Omerta. That's a mafia thing, right?
What?
It's like the code of silence.
Oh.
I think. Why do I know that?
We should keep a code of silence around this episode.
We should keep a code of silence just like at all times on the show. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. You can find us on Instagram at spilledmilkpodcast.
Mm-hmm.
Please rate and review the show. We love that.
Mm. And guys, Happy New Year.
Oh, is it?
We're not going to see you again until 2020.
Oh, wow. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode is airing the day after Christmas. So happy holidays. Happy New Year. And we've got some really special stuff coming up in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, like we have that live show that there may or may not still be tickets left for. Mm-hmm. But if there are, they would be at bit.ly/spilledmilk10. That's a live show in Seattle in January.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see you there for sure.
Mm-hmm. My mom and three of her lady friends are coming.
Oh, that's great. It's not easy to make your mom blush, though. Like, now that I know your mom's in the audience, I want to, like, say something.
But
say,
my
like,
mom, I mean,
stuff.
Like, yesterday she came over and she was like, I bought tickets for your live show and I'm bringing the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that, like, age-old child feeling relating to a parent.
Parents are coming to the show.
Please. Please don't. Oh,
but my
God.
Parents came to the show when I did my other podcast, Look Inside This Book Club, that I do with friend of the show, Becky Selinger, that is a very dirty show.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to have to pretend my mom mom's not in the audience and just do the thing we do.
Well, I've got to pretend my mom, her friend Tony, her other friend Tony, and her friend Jenna, and maybe her friend Claudia are not in the audience.
Wait, there are three Tonys?
Yep, my mom is Tony, and she has two good friends in Seattle named Tony.
This is never, your mom is part of Tony, and this has never come up on the show before?
I can't believe I haven't mentioned it. I always refer to my mom and the Tonys.
Maybe you said that and I thought she had like won a Tony. I don't know.
No, my mom and the Tonys. So
no,
my mom,
of course my mom hasn't won a Tony. Her show was terrible.
Everybody, come to the live show. You can meet my mom, the Tonys, Claudia, Jenna, maybe anybody else my mom brings who she considers part of her ladies. Mm-hmm.
Is Linda Pascal going to come all the way from Naples, Florida?
No. She's out there enjoying the Paradise Coast.
That's true. I wouldn't leave the Paradise Coast to come to our show.
Absolutely
under
not.
Any circumstances. No.
All right. Our producer, as always, is the absolutely tireless, long-suffering Abby Circatella.
As you were saying that, I could visualize Abby sitting there with the headphones on, being like, oh, God, wrap this up, Molly.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk.
I mean, between us, we have at least 30 minutes of barbecue experience.
Yeah. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Okay, hold on. I have some phlegm and I need to deal with it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.